welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached the summer series on my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome to it. So happy to be here with you. Just rolling in from the Omega Institute where I was teaching last week, which was absolutely an incredible experience. Thank you from my heart for all of you guys who came and were so connected and vulnerable and present. And it was just, it was a magical experience as it always is. So thank you. And I'm so happy to be back with you. We are rounding out the summer, guys. Can you even believe it? The summer is almost over. Today, in sort of a sense, is going to be the finale of the summer series. Probably be back next week with somewhat of a recap and some plans for moving forward. But today we're really going to tackle a big one. And I'm really excited to be here with you today. And I hope that my brain and my heart and my mind can just slow down and center and be in the space of explaining this correctly, because it feels so big. You know, when something feels so big, you so badly want to do it justice, and that can be a little bit stressful, but I'm here and here we are. So I know that the whole summer, what we've been doing is we have been listening to SpeakPipe, and then we have been referencing people's shares and bringing it into the work, whether it be the TMS work or the human condition kind of philosophy side of it. You know, it often intersects, and today it certainly does. And so as we've been doing that, one of the SpeakPipe messages that I got several weeks back just kept kind of staying with me. I didn't know exactly how I could highlight it, but I knew I wanted to, and I needed it to land in me as something that I could explain why it made sense, for me to help you understand something more. And so today it landed, and so I'm going to do that with you. And the topic is our mortality, just a light topic, you know. And really the lessons of our mortality and what we perceive as our limits are actually our portals. So we're gonna dive deeply into that. And so so let's start with a reminder of what TMS really is, that we say all the time, but it's got to be at the top of the podcast so we can touch back into it. What TMS really is the brain and the nervous system protecting and distracting us from what feels too dangerous to experience and feel. So let's remember that the brain and the nervous system perceive your repressed emotional world, your childhood trauma, your day-to-day stuff that triggers you into the past. The perception of your brain and your nervous system is that stuff is more dangerous, literally a threat to your survival, more dangerous than your physical chronic issues, complaints, problems, diagnoses, symptoms, syndromes, etc. So the natural course of our unconscious functioning, which most of the brain and the nervous system function unconsciously, is to distract us and protect us by allowing us to have something that we can perceive as within our control. It's very important today. It is more safe, according to our unconscious programming, to do anything we can perceive is within our control. So if I have migraines and I can go to a specialist and get the shot and, you know, go on my migraine message boards, although I'm not really super enjoying that life, that is a space of safety for my brain and my nervous system, because I can at least convince myself that I can know what time to leave for the doctor's appointment. I can know who to call. I can post on my message board, you know, whatever it is. The perception of control is a space where we feel safest. Whereas, you know, my struggles with my children, my struggles with my job, my fear about my mother, my, you know, mortality, the fact that this all one day will end for all of us, that is something that my unconscious processing systems feel is out of my control, that will never be in my control. That is quite the dilemma, because it's actually not in my control, but. What is the solution? So we're going to I'm going to do my best to bring us through this, because I think it is just so important. So that's TMS. So when I listen to the SpeakPipe message, we're going to play one today from Julie. I heard her talking about mortality, and it kept sticking with me. Like, this is so profound and universal, because no matter what age or life stage we're in, no matter what condition we face, we are all going to die and nobody wants to think about it. And so the message kept coming up for me. And then I was like, how exactly though can I bring something so big into a podcast and make meaning of it? You know, there's an old adage that there are only two things in life that are certain: death and taxes. And it might seem obvious that all roads lead to mortality, but if we're going to be that reductive, if we're going to just say, oh, well, we're all going to die, we miss so many opportunities to explore how we might live differently within that finitude. So incredible. The amazing amounts of peace and answers and solutions that occur within what we feel is an impossible situation. So before we begin to deconstruct that, I want to play the audio that inspired the podcast from Julie, and we're going to talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. It's Julie Cobb. I was at the Art of Living retreat with you. I do journal speak every day. It's been going on 4 months. I love you and I love your work. I guess my question is, I'm 75. It's taken me a long time to walk into the forest, as you say. And I want to live a long time and I want to walk out of the forest quickly. Maybe it's just for those of us who feel the call of mortality stronger than the call of our own birth. What can you tell us to fortify our remaining years with stronger belief, freedom from pain, freedom from bloat, freedom from doubt, freedom from fear, freedom? I remain forever grateful to you for what you bring, what you've learned, what you share, your big open heart, your transparency, and your enthusiasm, which motivate me every day to continue the work.
So what I love about what Julie said is when she says, for those of us who feel the call of mortality more forcefully than the call of our own birth. Wow. Trying to fortify us for the rest of our lives with freedom. Freedom from doubt, freedom from pain, freedom from bloat, freedom from fear, freedom. Freedom. So when I first heard Julie's message, I became thoughtful about how mortality relates to TMS pain. Of course, as we've been talking about, you know, what was the bridge? Why had I not yet contemplated it when I have thought so much, honestly, about nearly every TMS-related topic under the sun? And so I put it aside and I flagged it and I knew I wanted to come back to it because the distraction from something so big must be the most TMS-y question of all. I mean, we might want to distract ourselves from our impossible conflicts, but what's the most impossible conflict? That one day this will all end. And then something came to me, a memory came to me. I remembered when I used to work with Dr. Sarno in person, and I was so young. I was in my early 30s and he was in his 80s, so we were a fine pair. And he would always speak to me of mortality in older people as one of the greatest contributors to TMS. And I heard him, but there was something about it where I couldn't land the plane because my young age just kept informing me that mortality wasn't something that I related to personally. So I knew it, I heard him, but I used to be like, that's for him to explain, not for me to explain. So it never really became a foundational topic of my teaching or a theme in my practice. And now, of course, it's all coming rushing to me because here I am in middle age. Well, I mean, at 50, I'm past middle age. And I understand in a deeper way this call of mortality being greater than the call of our own birth. I see my children. I'm living with people who the call of their own birth is closer. And I see that realm of endless possibility stretching out in front of them and how they embrace that. And it's not that I don't. It's just that I am becoming more and more acutely aware that we are finite here And when Julie said that, I really kind of dropped into the reality of that. And then it brought up the whole concept of TMS and distraction. You know, I mean, the fact that life is one big uncertainty, whether we're living that uncertainty in our day-to-day life or we're living that uncertainty because we don't know when it's all going to end. So now that we've sort of set the stage for mortality, let's talk a little bit about what mortality. So Julie, I'm going to do my best here, my love. Okay. What do I say to those of us who feel the call of mortality more strongly than the call of our own birth? Well, the first thing I'll say is, here we are, right? Deep breath. Here we are. This is the truth. Mortality brings up so much for us. Are we living the lives we're meant to? Are we joyful? Are we proactive, successful, good parents, advancing at our jobs? Are we of service to others? What legacy will we leave? Are we tending our own gardens? You know, people say the grass is always greener on the other side, and I get it. But I really think of the expression, the grass is always greener where we water it, where we water it. Okay. So if we're thinking about that, the grass is always greener where we water it. And here we are within the space of mortality, asking all these questions, bringing up so much fear, maybe, meaning, all sorts of contributors to TMS, all sorts of stuff to throw into that reservoir of rage and shame and sadness and fear and terror and remembering our trauma and then saying, am I enough? If we think about the grass is always greener where we water it, it brings up, how do we find solutions? We find solutions in paying attention to that which we pay attention to. What we pay attention to in our lives is what thrives. So, of course, in the world of TMS, if we are constantly thinking about our physical pain and our symptoms and the problems and the fear and the meaning, it thrives. And if we are willing to take the bold and brave step to open ourselves, to become willing to think outside of the box and to look toward the emotional reservoir and to calmly and gently and consistently work to empty it with a journal speak practice. If we pay attention to that, what thrives is our ability to understand that that will not kill us, that that will not threaten our survival. And then we buck the whole system of the brain and the nervous system saying, we can't think about that. It will kill us. And we say, guess what? No, we can pay attention to that. It will save us. That's what we're doing here. So as I was trying to work through this and figure out how to explain this mortality thing more clearly, I came across a podcast and I was introduced to the work of Oliver Berkman, who studies time management, right? So what's time management about? It's about attention. And he doesn't just discuss time management, even though that is very important for all of us on a surface level. He really drops really deeply into it philosophically. And he discusses what makes meaning in our lives, and he discusses the war on our attention. So when in the world of discussing our attention, it has to be said, it has to be noted that as humans, we are finite. We only have a certain amount of time in a day. We only have a certain amount of things we can pay attention to. And like in the world of time management, if you're really thinking about it, what's important about time management? It's important to prioritize what it is important to pay attention to because we only have so much time. You know, and then if we're looking at our whole lives, our lives are only so long. And so we continually face hard choices because we can't do everything. You know, and then we think about our society, this pool of social media and clickbait and constant content that we are always being offered, the advertising culture that we swim in, and everything is competing for our attention. So our attention then becomes our most defining act. Where are we putting our attention? And then we look at our lives in the rear view or as many ways as we can look at our lives. And we see that our lives are actually the sum of that which we ultimately pay attention to, whether by choice or by what we have been diverted or distracted into. So this is so important. So let's sit with this for a second. Choice versus distraction. Then, so through Berkman's lens, in terms of time management, it's about if you have to get the chapter done of your book versus the distraction of checking your email or scrolling through Instagram, the only way to get that book chapter written is to understand that we can't be unconsciously distracted. We can't just be pulled away from that which is important without our conscious thought. But the way he describes it is so deep. He doesn't just say it like that. Well, yeah, you have to, you know, keep your mind focused and stick with your project. He explains why we are so easily distracted. And it's so TMS-y. I freaking love it. The reason that we are so easily distracted when we have to do something that's, quote, important to us is being in the space of what is important to us reminds us that one day we will lose it. The mortality of each thing. When we're thinking about a relationship or a love or a person in our life that is super important, we become overwhelmed. We're reminded that one day we will lose it, or our choices are so important within it, or everything has such high stakes. So what happens? We remember we can look at Instagram and all of a sudden we are saved. Just like the fibromyalgia and the migraine and the back pain and the irritable bowel and all the things save us from that which is most important, which is delving into that which needs to be felt. And I get it. I get it why the distraction seems safer. But when we're looking at time management and when we're looking at having the lives we actually want, the distraction is killing us. It's stopping us from everything that we want. So let's think about it. Some of our greatest anxiety is the result of confronting this inescapable reality that our time is limited. So, you know, I always say life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. And I'm sure you guys have heard me say that ad nauseum. And life is also always a choice between what we feel we need or want to do and the time and energy we have to do it. So, of course, we make these choices based on what hurts or what hurts worse. But here's the thing. How do we know what hurts and what hurts worse if we're not awake and aware? We don't. So my job here in this podcast always, always is to make sure we stay awake as much as possible, especially within the realm of mortality. Because if we're always being unconsciously distracted, whether it's by our pain or by social media or by superficial things that don't really matter to us because what really matters to us reminds us that we're going to lose it or we feel that we can't control it and it feels too painful. If we're always in that distraction, we're unconscious. We're walking around unconscious. And that is the greatest sadness for me. The times in my life that I have lived unconscious, asleep. You know, I don't feel tremendous regret. I don't want to go back and get those moments back, but it's sad to me because I want to feel everything. I want to be in the space of my beautiful children and my beautiful love and my beautiful work. And I'm at Omega with everybody's full humanity on display. I want to be right there. That to me is a life well lived. That to me is the moment where, you know, I've spoken to people in hospice and they say they talk to people at the moments that they're facing death and they say, what are your reflections? Do you have any regrets? And they always regret, did I love enough? Or question, did I love enough? Did I connect enough? Was I present enough? Was I able to stay? So here we are. Here we are, both in the world of pain and in the world of mortality and in the world of the human condition and the philosophy of being alive and sentient. And we're here and we say, how do we stay? Because everything exists right here. It's so hard to not be distracted. And now I'm getting it. And I hope you're getting it, which is the reason we're distracted, is because staying feels like the stakes are too high, but it's actually the complete opposite. Everything is happening right here. So let's sit with that and let's go deeper. So within the framing of life is always a choice between what we feel we need or want to do and the time and energy we have to do it, Julie asks the biggest question of all. What can we tell ourselves as we face this ticking clock and our own mortality that will allow us to feel freedom despite the limitations? Freedom from pain and discomfort, both physically and emotionally. You know, it becomes more and more clear that we face hard choices. We can't do everything. And I think what we do is we torture ourselves. Am I choosing properly? Are we choosing or is life choosing us? Are we living life, or is life living us? You know, are we in response mode? Are we constantly reacting, or are we slowing down and responding to life? It's so important that we stop and we ask these questions. Are we going toward whatever demands our attention in the moment, or are we determining what we want to pay attention to? Are we being distracted into something without our permission? But there's even a deeper layer of complexity to what Berkman describes, and it involves why we pay attention to the things that we pay attention to. And that's why I love it with that as a bridge to the mortality conversation, because we think we pay attention just because that's what we need to pay attention to. For example, I had a friend the other day who was doing her journal speak, and her kids were fighting. And I watched her pay attention. I watched her keep putting down her notebook and running over and trying to deal with the kids and making everybody, you know, meeting everybody's needs, probably way beyond, probably stealing from them the agency that they needed to fix the problem themselves. And what's so interesting is, I'm sure if you asked her, she could pass a lie detector test and say, well, I think I don't have to pay attention to this. This is what's right in front of me. I have to pay attention to this. But what if she had the freedom to choose what she paid attention to, because she understood that her journal speak was actually what she wanted to pay attention to? She wanted to heal. She doesn't want her chronic pain anymore. She was actually stealing from her children the ability to create that autonomous relationship between the two of them, because the fight wasn't so bad. And she didn't even know she had a choice, because she was so convinced that the distraction was the better choice, the better place to go. Whereas if you can pause and say, I see, when I think about my journal speak, I'm reminded of the things that are important to me. I'm reminded that things feel impossible to control, impossible to fix, impossible to make better. And so I just don't want to be there at all. And when I think about the deep way I love and the deep way I hurt and the way I feel about my parents, it reminds me that one day this life I have will end. And all of this is happening under the surface, by the way, guys, but it's happening. And until we realize it's happening, we don't have the freedom to make choices and to say, hey guys, I'll be there in a minute. I have 8 minutes left of my journal speak. I'm going to finish this now. And listen, I'm a mom. I know that this is not perfect. This situation is not perfect, but you know, use it just as a metaphor for the fact that you want to have more agency in your life. You want to choose. You don't want life to live you. You want to live life. So think about it this way. As we engage in our chosen activities, the things that we choose as most important, like the relationships we build with our partners and our kids, the work challenges we take on, etc., we are forced to acknowledge that we can't control how these things will turn out. No matter how much we want something to work out in a certain way, it will disappoint, or we will encounter obstacles that make us feel deeply uncomfortable. You know, think of relationships. Sometimes you'll have to make yourself really vulnerable and have difficult conversations. Or think about a project you care deeply about, like that chapter he's talking about writing. At some point, you might have to turn it over for feedback that you can't control. The most important things in life are the most painful, because they remind us that we will lose them, that we can't control them, that we will run out of time, or that we feel inadequate to deliver to the standards we set. This is, you know, and I think about this as I'm talking, right? And I say, well, Nicole, like, what's the point of drilling this home again and again? And it's because if we know this, then we can become able to choose within, let's say, Carl Jung's famous statement, which is, until we make the unconscious conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. I don't want to live within a fate that feels that it is controlling me. I want to make my choices. And when we know that we could potentially be becoming distracted either by our pain or by other things like low-hanging fruit, you know, like simple tiny conflicts or social media or, you know, a text fight that you're having with someone in your life that you just need a break from, like all these things, when we allow ourselves to be distracted, they will direct that, those distractions will direct our life and we'll call it fate. And I don't want that for you, and I don't want it for me. And I want you to be able to pause and look toward this repressed emotional world instead of the distraction of your pain. So at this point in life, when we realize that the important things in life remind us that we will lose them and that we might be in this unconscious mortality reflex, we face a conflict. We're up against an obstacle, a limitation. The places we sense our boundaries, our ability to affect whether something can be endless or not. You know, because of course our life is not endless. Our life is finite. And the nature of our finite reality, and we get uncomfortable, right? So this is the thing. This is the thing about human beings. We face this conflict. We look at the obstacle. We see our boundaries and we get uncomfortable. And this is precisely when it becomes much more attractive to seek out or unconsciously allow ourselves to move toward this distraction. So we answer our texts, we go on social media, we turn away from the reality of our lives that are finite and toward things that are deceptively open-ended, like the infinite newsfeed. All right, so let's pause here for a moment. It's sort of hard to believe when you really think about it that our unconscious brains can feel safer with a newsfeed because a newsfeed feels infinite to us, but it's actually what's happening. Like we feel safer with an infinite scroll, even though it's fully stealing our day, because it feels infinite versus our finite reality, the mortality of life. And this is where it dawned on me that it is exactly the same through the lens of chronic pain. When we feel impossible, when we face rather impossible conflicts, we face the reality of our lives, like being a mother is hard. We have to make sacrifices. We can't do everything. Rather than face these conflicts head on or get underneath them with our journal speak, our nervous system diverts the discomfort into our bodies where it's easier to feel the migraines, the shoulder pain. You know, as C.S. Lewis says, and I don't know if I'm going to quote this properly, perfectly, because it's on my website, but it's easier to say, my toothache is killing me, then my heart is broken. And I love when I found that quote and put it on my website because it's like, yes, it is easier. Our nervous systems know that and they are so loving in pushing us toward those distractions rather than allowing us to think about all these things. And as Julie said, ultimately our mortality. Just as online distractions provide open-ended solutions to the finite reality in which hard choices need to be faced, so too does chronic pain provide an endless voyage and distraction away from your truth. It's crazy. I mean, thinking the word chronic means endless. There is no end to something that is chronic. The voyage of chronic pain is endless, and the challenges of reality are finite. It's just amazing when I sit and think about it. And unless and until we wake up and become conscious that we are falsely sated by this, quote, freedom to be chronic, we will continue enabling our bodies to be safe in the unsafest way and stuck in chronic conditions. And what do we want, my loves? We want to be free, even if it ends, because it's going to end. And consciously, we all know this. And especially, you know, at 50, I'm sitting here at 50, especially within the conscious confines of my finite reality, I want this freedom even more. I know that I don't have endless years, and my kids might know that too, but it doesn't feel that way when you're that age. But I remember sitting with Dr. Sarno in his 80s saying that to me, and now I really get it. I want to choose this freedom. I want to know why I distract myself. I want to get it so I can press the pause button and I can stop. And I want that for you too. But it's so interesting when we think about solutions. You know, the word solution to me always feels like people, I want a simple solution. I want someone to tell me, how do I do it? How do I make it better? But unfortunately, the solution, and this is such a ubiquitous and universal truth, is not always what you want it to be. For example, simply removing each distraction is not the answer, because we can always find another. Just like getting surgery for your bulging disc is not the answer. Because once you recover from that surgery, even if you feel a brief cessation of pain or the pain moves around a little, you will get migraines or stomach problems. You may. It just happens so often. So excuse my passion with this because I'm working with people all the time. It may move around somewhere else And it's endless. It's endless to the chronic nature of it. And you can remove your distractions in life. You could hide your cell phone. But if it's not your cell phone, it could be the news or organizing your closet. Like, legitimately, we can find anything to distract us if we are asleep. Think of the symptom imperative. Our nervous systems are sophisticated, and the distraction will be on the move, going from place to place until we address the source of our discomfort and learn to stay. The concept of stay is so beautiful to me. I once read a book. It was like a little book of truths, you know, what kind of, sort of a coffee table or like a book that someone would put in a bathroom in their lake house, you know, like one of those little books. And I remember on one of the pages, it said, the kindest thing a friend can ever say to another friend is stay. I love that. I don't know why it hits me so deeply in the heart. And like, that's what we can do for ourselves within our discomfort. Instead of running, because we're awake now, guys, we're awake. Look at you, look at me, we're here. You're still listening to me somehow, so you're awake. You haven't distracted away from this yet. We can address the source of our discomfort and we can stay. And we can accept within the staying that life is truly about giving ourselves over to the meaningful activities and the discomfort inherent in these relationships and pursuits. The concept of both and, the concept of holding space for both. We always think as human beings unconsciously that we are to move away from that which is uncomfortable. But the question is it impossible or is it just uncomfortable? And I think when you ask yourself that question, you will know that it's just uncomfortable. And staying within the discomfort is where all freedom lives. It's where the journal speak practice reveals itself to you. It's where the pain stops pinging you because it's not necessary anymore to distract you from your feelings that you have been able to feel. And in the world, so that's in chronic pain. And in the world that Berkman is talking about, it's about growth. Growing is uncomfortable. Difficult conversations are uncomfortable. But what do? They make our relationships stronger. Overcoming obstacles is uncomfortable, but it gets us to the next place in our journey. We are finite beings. We are. And life involves hard and sometimes non-negotiable choices. Like there's no cure for the human condition. However, when we can stay and accept this, remember, acceptance doesn't mean agreement. Accepting this doesn't mean that you have to like it. You just have to know it's true. You'll see that your attitude can begin to shift. It's like an athlete. You can become more conditioned like an athlete. It's a practice, like everything is a practice. You know, last week on the podcast, or 2 weeks ago, the week before Omega, I said, we do not prepare the path for ourselves. We prepare ourselves for the path. You train yourself to notice discomfort as it's arising, and then you allow, name, release. And actually, as I've evolved this allow, name, release, it's really allow, name, allow, release, because you allow yourself to be open to this process. You hear what I'm saying. Then you name it. I see what's happening here. I need to have a difficult conversation with my partner and I really don't want to and it makes me really uncomfortable and I just want to go watch TV and binge Netflix. But I see what's happening. So I've allowed myself to be present to it. I'm naming it. And now I'm going to allow it to be uncomfortable and I'm going to stay. And in my staying, I will shift. Like I can become more conditioned like an athlete and I can have the conversation and then my relationship grows and it's the same for your journal speak. You feel your resistance. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I've got more important things to do. You feel it. You feel it. You feel it. You pause. You name it. I see what's happening. I don't want to think about my mother or my relationships or my children or my pain. I don't want to think about it. I get it. You name it. And then you allow yourself to be in that and you stay. And you say, I don't want to do this right now. But you know what? This is what's next. I'm so sick of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm going to do it. And then eventually, gently and naturally, you will release it. Allow, name, allow, release. You know, the feeling of difficulty and discomfort itself is not the problem. your urge to escape or resist or distract from it is. But remember, what you resist persists. We don't want to keep being back in the fire. We want to understand that the fire is the place we can grow. We have to, you know, I don't even know if I said that right. We have to be in the fire if we know that we can sustain being in the fire, but we don't want to have to escape from the fire. There you go. Who knows? My fire reference may not be perfect, but I think you get what I'm saying. So here's where Berkman and Ram Dass and so many people I talk about in this podcast land, and I with them, is you can begin to actually find some kind of peace and maybe even pleasure in these conflicts or challenges if you can stay. You know, okay, let's go back to my fire reference for one second. If you can be awake to your discomfort, if you can feel the tingling or the burning sensation in your body and stay and name it and connect it to that which is feels like an impossible conflict in your journal speak, it actually passes through you. I had such a beautiful conversation. I don't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast, so I'm not going to go all the way into it, but I think I did. I had a beautiful conversation with a friend who's doing this work, and she just did that. She just, instead of running, she stayed, and it passed, and she was just, I was tearful listening to her, and it's that's the way it works. So you don't have to run. You just have to do the next right considered action. We talk about this all the time. Continuing, and I know it's hard. Can I just say right now, I know it's hard. It's so hard to stay. It's so hard not to distract. And maybe you can distract sometimes. You know, it's about choice. Like sometimes choice is we're going to distract. Fine. But it's also freedom to be able to make a choice to stay. And if you can continue to pause and be aware and to recognize that it's not about doing anything and running away, it's about being right here. It's about staying. Then you get opened to something that really was very emotional for me, the realization that I had when I was running at Omega. So those of you who were there saw that every morning I went running. A bit triumphant for me always, because one of the things that the doctors, when I was 19 and diagnosed me with my spondylolisthesis, told me I would never do, among other things, including having a biological child. And P.S. today is my son's 18th birthday. But one of the things they told me I would never do is be a runner because, you know, so poor for the back. I run almost every day and my back is fantastic. Anyway, I was running at Omega and my Spotify was running through my playlist. And if, at the end of Spotify, it just picks songs that are similar to the songs that you put on your playlist. And so I guess my playlist ran out and this song came on that I had never heard before. And the song is called If We Were Vampires. And I realized something in that song that really contributed to this podcast, because it's the song is about mortality. And I realized that if indeed, as we're saying, we can continue to pause and be aware and recognize and be right here, it's about staying. And if we can, in that staying, live within the discomfort that staying makes us realize our finitude, our mortality, staying in the depth of our love and our pain and our bittersweet experience of being alive reminds us that one day it will end, and that's hard. So we are tempted unconsciously to distract ourselves and divert from that, but we know now that we have a choice, so we stay. I realize that the most beautiful and moving part for me is the problem itself that Julie is pointing out, that we are finite, that this will eventually end, is actually what gives our lives meaning. That it doesn't go on forever. That's why we cherish it. That's why our moments are everything, because we don't have endless moments. It's so beautiful. I'm going to read you a couple lines from the song. So the song goes, and I would honestly sing it for you, but I'm too shy. So I'm going to read it to you. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone, or one day you'll be gone. If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke. and laugh at all the lovers and their plans. I wouldn't even feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I will work hard till the end of my shift and give you every second I can find and hope it isn't me who's left behind. I love that line. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Why do we hold hands? Why do we look into each other's eyes? Why do we pause in our most beautiful moments? Because we know we don't get endless supplies of them. And when we can also do that in our discomfort and stay, we are able then to have a meaningful life, a rich and beautiful and pain-free and delicious life, even though it will end. Because whether we divert or distract ourselves, Julie and everyone, this will end. But the solution is in the staying, no matter what. So there we go. I think I did it. I think I brought us through it. I hope I did. You let me know. Write me an email, njsacks@gmail.com. Let me know if I did it. Thank you guys for being with me this summer. Thank you for all of your speak pipes. I'm still listening to them. I'm keeping speak pipe wide open as we embark on our new fall format that we are planning right now that I will be talking more and more about as the fall goes on. I will be back next week, so I'm not saying a full goodbye right now. But what I'm doing is I'm keeping this speak pipe open because I want to keep hearing from you. The fall format is going to be about creation, about taking the podcast in a different direction, but in a deep and meaningful direction that will touch back into everything that we've been doing here for years. And I need to keep hearing from you. I need to keep knowing where you are and what your questions are and where you find yourself and what this brings up for you and reflecting on the podcasts of the past. So go to speakpipe.com/Nicole Sacks and talk to me. Tell me. Tell me if you're staying. Tell me why it's hard to stay. Tell me why distraction feels safer. Or tell me that doesn't anymore. Give me your success stories. Give me your triumphs. Give me your struggles. I am here. I listen to every single one of them. And I hope that this helped some of you guys today. Center yourselves. Renew your commitment to this practice and to being awake and aware. And it will really help you as you move forward. So there we are. If you're enjoying the podcast and you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it, it really helps other people find the podcast and boost the podcast for other people. It really means a lot to me. And so until next week, this has been Nicole Sacks with the Summer Series on the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you then.